buddy Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Hey, Tom, it's officially winter up at the Buckmaster Bungalow. Why, you might add?
Well, did December 21st come sooner for you than the rest of us?
Well, the official test is one of the four bird baths.
You're telling me that you have ice in one of your bird baths?
Not just ice. One of them is frozen solid, or was frozen solid, while the rest, no problem. A very odd thing. Maybe there's something.
Was Woodstock out there skating around by any chance?
Yeah, I think so. So I thought I saw something like that. Anyway, it's Wednesday, midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. We're pushing toward the middle of December. It's the 11th of December, 2024. We'll begin our 15th year with our radio program. That after 22 years over on the television side on Arizona Public Media. Buckmaster is coming to you from 1030 KVOI, The Voice, one of five radio stations here under the Bustos Media flag. The naming rights to our studio here during the program belong, and I'm glad they do, to the Green Things Zocalo Village folks. Green Things, very much ready for the holidays. 3384 East River Road. And, of course, we have our worldwide live listening of the Buckmaster Show at buckmastershow.com. When we do our telephone interviews, we'll be doing a couple during the show today, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's get things rolling with the Buckmaster Show contributor on health, Dr. Victoria Mazes, the founding executive director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona, where she is a professor of medicine and public health, internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine. Dr. Mazes is committed to helping individuals lead healthier lives and in pioneering change efforts that solve the American healthcare system challenges. Together with her team at the center, she created and implemented education programs that have trained thousands of physicians, nurses, and other health professionals and impacted the care of millions of people. A highly sought-after speaker, Dr. Mazes is editor of the Oxford University textbook, Integrative Women's Health, and the author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. She, along with her co-host, Dr. Andrew Weil, do a very popular podcast called Body of Wonder. She was named one of the world's 25 intelligent optimists by Ode Magazine. You can find her on her website, integrativemedicine@arizona.edu, or follow her on Twitter at Dr. Mazes. Dr. Mazes, how are you?
I am doing well. Thank you, Bill.
You know, many of us, I think it's a rare individual who doesn't on occasion suffer from sleepless nights or very little sleep sometime. I know I certainly have. But there seems to be a difference, Dr. Mazes, for those waking up thinking, you know, I got 7 or 8 hours sleep, but I still feel really tired.
Yeah, and I think that distinction's really important. Everybody will have an occasional night where they just don't sleep as well as they might. And most of the time, the next night you sleep fine and you don't even think about it.
Yeah.
But if day after day you wake up and you go, I feel tired. Mm-hmm. I don't feel well. I don't feel like I got enough sleep. That's something that deserves exploration.
And where do you begin?
Well, I think the first question is, how many hours did you sleep? So it is recommended that most adults get between 7 and 9 hours. And, you know, some of us have a sense, like I'm someone who needs 8, 8.5 hours. If I just go to bed and wake up without an alarm clock, on average, I'm getting it between 8 and 8.5. There are certainly people who do fine on 7. There are people who need 9. So it does vary. But to get that 7 to 9 usually means you're spending more hours in bed, because it takes us a little while to fall asleep. That's what we call our sleep latency. It's the rare person who puts their head on their pillow and is instantly out. Usually it's normal to have 10, 15, even 20 minutes where you're gradually relaxing and, you know, gradually moving into first light sleep and then deeper sleep. And then it's also quite normal to wake up across the duration of the night. Sometimes you know it, you wake up and you go, oh, I just feel like I have to go to the bathroom, or I'm not comfortable, I'm going to turn on my other side, or and sometimes you're not aware of it, and you wake up just briefly and go right back to sleep. But these awakenings can add up. So for example, if it takes you 15 or 20 minutes to fall asleep, and then you wake up twice a night and you're up for 10 minutes each time, that could be 40 minutes. And so your 7 hours that you allocated for sleep could really only be a little over 6 hours, and you may need more sleep than that.
And there are also things that you probably should not do, like drinking if you're putting some caffeine in your body late afternoon or early evening.
Absolutely. So caffeine, whether it's from coffee or tea or a soda that's caffeinated or an energy drink that has caffeine, has what we call a long half-life. The half-life is the number of hours for half of it to get out of your system. And we usually think about 5 half-lives for it to all get out of your system. So if you drink coffee at 2 or 3 in the afternoon, you may still have caffeine circulating in your bloodstream when you're trying to fall asleep, or at 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning when you wake up, and that can interfere with your ability to get a good night's sleep. So anyone who is having some trouble, one of the first things to do is to say, when do I turn off the caffeine? And for many people, after, say, 9 or 10 in the morning, it's better to not have any further caffeine. It's kind of normal to have a little bit of an energy slump in the afternoon, and people reach for caffeine, but you could take a brisk walk. You could do some energizing breathing. There are other ways to kind of pick your energy up a bit without resorting to caffeine.
How about the timing of your evening meal, Dr. Mazes?
Yes. Yeah, so when we sleep, our circadian rhythms have us doing all sorts of things. We're not actually doing nothing. The brain is clearing out toxins through our lymphatic system, and there's a lot of resets of our metabolism. But one thing we're not supposed to be doing while we're sleeping is digesting food. And so most people recommend that we stop eating anything 2 to 3 hours before we go to bed, so that we have had a chance already to move the food out of our stomach and lower into our intestines, and not to be actively digesting food. People also may find if they go to bed on a full stomach, they have some more heartburn that can interfere with your sleep. And so it's usually recommended that you stop eating 2 to 3 hours before it's time for you to go to bed. If you go to bed at 8, that could mean, 5 o'clock in the evening, you're done. If you go to bed at 10, it's later. But to really go to bed on more of an empty stomach than a full stomach.
And then folks that decide they'd like to, and you acknowledge that there is a kind of this letdown after lunch. You feel like you need a nap. If you're going to nap, try to keep it to what, short napping?
Yeah, there was a lot of research done on this by NASA, actually. They were worried about pilots, and that pilots who often work very long shifts, and sometimes they are working at times when you'd normally be sleeping, say they're on a transatlantic flight or something. So they actually began to research napping and the benefits of a nap. And they found the ideal length of time to nap was between 15 and 20 minutes. If you go much longer than that, you can get into deep sleep. And with deep sleep, when you wake up, you kind of feel groggy. They call that inertia, sleep inertia, where you just feel like, oh my goodness, I feel zonked. So you want to avoid that with your nap. You want a relatively short nap. They now call it a power nap. Used to be called a NASA nap, but now it's often called a power nap. So keeping it short can be very refreshing, and there are many people who swear by their naps. But if you're having trouble with sleep, if you're someone who's actually struggling with insomnia, napping is discouraged. And that's because over the course of the daytime, you build up a chemical in your bloodstream called adenosine. And if you take a nap, you reduce your adenosine. And with that, you reduce the urge to sleep. So if you're someone who's having trouble falling asleep at night, avoiding napping is often a good idea.
And a lot of people do suffer from insomnia. 3 out of 10 people at some point are going to have serious, well, it can be serious, sleep issues.
Yeah, insomnia is relatively common, and some of the treatment is really what we say to ourselves about it. We sometimes catastrophize or awfulize and like, oh my goodness, I have to sleep because I have this important thing I have to do tomorrow, and you know, I'll never be able to function if I can't get to sleep. And you know, we build it up and create anxiety about our not sleeping, and that has a tendency to make it worse. And so what's been researched and found to be one of the most effective strategies for helping with insomnia is actually cognitive behavioral therapy. And that includes how we talk to ourselves, but also certain behaviors like not napping and going to bed at the same time every day, waking up about the same time. There's a lot of different bits to cognitive behavioral therapy, but that can be very helpful for insomnia.
And then there's something called sleep apnea.
Yes. So sleep apnea is a condition where the muscles in our throat collapse a bit. And because of that, we're not getting good airflow when we sleep. And we actually may briefly stop breathing. Of course, if you stop breathing, then you wake up because there's nothing that's more frightening to our body than not getting breath when we need
yes.
it. And so people with sleep apnea repeatedly wake up across the night. Some people, it becomes a little more obvious they may have sleep apnea because their partner, their bed partner says, you know, you stop breathing periodically in the mm-hmm. night and I want to shake you because it scares me. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they snore really loudly. But of course, some people don't have a bed partner, and there are some apps that are free apps that you could find that record yourself, and you could tell if you snore loudly or if you periodically stop breathing. But the way to really diagnose sleep apnea is with a sleep study, which is something that would be ordered by your doctor. It's either done in a sleep lab where you actually spend the night sleeping in someone else's. I always wonder, how can anyone sleep in that circumstance?
I don't know. I'd have a lot of trouble doing that. I think.
Yeah. And you're all wired up. You know,
yeah.
they track your breathing rate and your heart rate and your brain activity. But luckily, they now can do sleep studies at home. So you're likely to be much more comfortable. And then you can find out if you truly have sleep apnea. And if you do, there are a number of different treatments for it.
All right. Before we wrap up this particular topic, what about some natural supplements that could be used to enhance falling asleep?
Well, I always like to start with mind-body rather than supplements. You know, I like for people to figure out ways that they can relax, because in the English language, we say, I'm going to go to sleep, as if it's a light switch, right? That we could just lay down, turn the switch off, and fall asleep. But that's not how it works. We kind of have to relax into sleep. And so there's a lot of things that may help you relax, like not watching, you know, upsetting news right before you go to sleep, not watching very stimulating, you know, like a horror movie or something right before you go to sleep. Even the blue light from screens, whether your phone or television, can interfere with the production of melatonin. So instead, can you dim the lights? Can you take a hot bath? Can you have a cup of chamomile tea? Can you use an app like Insight, InSight, Insight Timer, where it has a meditation or the sound of binaural beats or something else that helps relax you so that it's more easy for you to gradually move into a sleep state? And then in addition to those, there are things that people use, and the two most widely recommended supplements. One is melatonin, which is the neurohormone that actually helps our body fall asleep, and we make less of it as we get older, so that's one. And the other is an herbal medicine called valerian, which is a very safe medicine that you can use as well to help you sleep.
All right, good advice and good topic, certainly. Especially this time of year around the holidays, people have so much going on. It is very difficult for many people to kind of unwind and let the anxiety level play out and relax a little bit. All right, we'll take a break right here, talk about Mona's Danish Bakery, something we love to talk about. Mona's, home of the Danish Kringle. Just say Danish Kringle and I think of, well, Kris Kringle or the holidays. It's just kind of that term that sort of says got holiday written all over it. Danish Kringle. Northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise for Mona's. They're getting ready for the holidays. You can put in your order for what you would, and I hope you do, put in your order for dessert on your Christmas table. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is their website, open every day except Mondays. Take a break right here. More with Dr. Victoria Mazes from the Weill Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Take the Regional Transportation Authority's brief survey of its draft $2.46 billion Regional Transportation Plan. The 20-year RTA Next Draft Plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, and environmental improvements for the greater Tucson region. The RTA Board will consider your feedback before it prepares a final draft for voter consideration as early as November 2025. We invite you to take our brief survey at rtanext.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Welcome back. It is Buckmaster in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studios on the campus of Bustos Media, where we've got five radio stations under one roof. This one's KVOI, The Voice. The Environmental Protection Agency, Dr. Mazes, banned this week two solvents that are found in everyday products that can cause cancer and other serious diseases. These particular solvents have been an area of controversy, haven't they, for years, especially when it comes to dry cleaning facilities?
Yes, indeed they have. So the two different solvents that were banned, one is called TCE or trichloroethylene, and the other is called PERC. PERC is something that is commonly used in dry cleaning. And the thing about PERC is that there have been substitutes. For example, you know, I for years have gone to a Tucson-based dry cleaner that doesn't use PERC. Therefore, when you bring your dry cleaning home, you're not exposed to it. And so there really were other choices. And in both cases, the case of TCE, it's known to cause liver cancer, kidney cancer, and non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. It also can damage the nervous and immune system. And in fact, there was a movie that was made out of this back in 1995. The book called A Civil Action came out, and then they made a movie. So we've known about this for a really, really long time, 30 years. That's a long time to wait. And then the PERC, which is perchloroethylene, is also known to cause liver, kidney, brain, and testicular cancer, and it can damage the kidneys, the liver, and the immune system.
So would it be a good idea to ask your dry cleaner about these, what type of chemicals they use?
Yes, I think that is a really good idea, because one of the things that has played out in our country is, even as our federal government has been relatively slow to put the brakes on different kinds of chemicals, many of which are, for example, outlawed in Canada or in Europe, there is a huge movement of people who want what I would call greener products. And therefore, our marketplace has responded with large numbers of very clean products that people can now find. And as I said earlier, dry cleaners who have eliminated PERC. That's not just good for, you know, the person who has to dry clean their clothing occasionally, and certainly doing less of that is a strategy. But just think about the people who work at the dry cleaners and are exposed day in and day out. I notice even at my dry cleaner that doesn't use PERC, they always have their doors open, which is smart because that increases ventilation. But still, they're exposed to much larger amounts of the chemical than I ever would be.
Does this ban go into effect immediately, or is there going to be a kind of a grandfather clause to gradually bring it in?
You know, I haven't seen the date. There almost always is a grandfather clause where it's, you know, they have some time to align themselves. So I imagine there is, but I don't know the date off the top of my head. But I did want to, you know, give some suggestions to listeners that one of the ways to find greener products is to go to the Environmental Working Group. I think I have mentioned this group in the past. They're a nonprofit, and they have an extensive free website that can help you choose, for example, better cleaning products. They have what they call safer sunscreens. They always have a list of what's called the Dirty Dozen, which are the most contaminated vegetables and fruits. And in contrast, the Clean 15, which are the least contaminated vegetables and fruits. And they have an app you could put on your phone. It's called Healthy Living. It's free. And when you go to the store, you can scan the barcode and you can find products that are cleaner. And by cleaner, I mean they score them for, are they carcinogens? Are they allergy inducing? Are they what's called reproductive toxicants, which means they increase the risk of infertility, and so on. And so that is one app. And then another app is called Yuka, Y-U-K-A, also a free app that you could scan the product's barcodes. And then a third is called Clearia, like the word clear, C-L-E-A-R, and then Y-A, Clearia. So those are some ways that you can use your purchasing powers to affect our marketplace so that we have more safe and less exposure to many of these toxic chemicals.
Talking with Dr. Victoria Mazes, the founding executive director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. What are you looking for or planning in 2025 for the Weil Center?
Well, the Weil Center will continue to create more programs for the public. We have, as your listeners will know, a beautiful new set of buildings. And so we are designing programs. We call it Centered at the Center, where you can come and do yoga or mind-body programs, cooking programs. And so that will continue to expand now that we have this wonderful new facility that can be used. And, you know, for myself, I'm going to be finishing up a book that is called The Rapid Recovery Reflex, which is about how you can use the principles of integrative medicine to become healthier.
Mm. We'll look forward to talking more about that. That will be due out at the end of 2025, perhaps?
Well, because it's a health book, it'll come out right at the new year, so in January of 26.
Perfect. We will talk more about that and want to wish you and yours a wonderful holiday season. Thank you very much for your support over the years of our work here on The Buckmaster Show. Thank you, Victoria.
Thank you, Bill, and best wishes to you and to all the listeners for a healthy and happy new year.
Thank you very much. All right. Always a pleasure to have Dr. Victoria Mazes on our program. Coming up next, our every other month visit with our friends at the Reed Park Zoo. A lot going on over at the zoo. We'll hear from them right after our mid-show break.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. And speaking of the Reed Park Zoo, the following segment on the Buckmaster Show, presented by our friends at the zoo, founded in 1965 by the then City of Tucson Parks Director Gene Reed as an exhibit of exotic birds. My, how the zoo has grown to become one of America's top zoos with over 300 animals from all over the world. And a lot of visitors annually, some 500,000, in fact. Let's go now on the live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, to Deborah Carr, the Marketing and Communications Director. Hey, Deborah, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. How are you? Happy holidays.
Yeah, happy holidays to you. A lot going on at the zoo and some new additions, some big, some very small.
Yes, it's been a busy time for us. The very largest addition that we have is Savo. He is a new 18-year-old male African elephant, and he has come to our zoo from another zoo on recommendation from the Species Survival Plan. So that's to maintain genetically viable populations of animals. Our animal care team, of course, you know, with any large animal like that, the introductions can be, very slow going at times, but they have been gradually introducing Savo to all the other females in our herd.
Okay.
We have an all-female until now. So they'll get to know each other through these adjoining habitats. And right off the bat, Savo has just been a wonderful addition. He's getting along beautifully with the whole herd. The very first day, he greeted Lingili, who is our kind of anti-elephant, with a bow. And they've been fast friends ever since. So he is just getting along very well. And, you know, of course, we have a very strong elephant program here, and we're excited to have him here. If you're looking for him, he has longer tusks, and he's slightly taller and darker in color. So he's got a very distinct look, very handsome elephant. So
they're often
on habitat together.
Not only a crowd pleaser for the visitors, but for the herd, which is very important.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely. Elephants, in Africa are vanishing.
Mm-hmm.
And, our program helps to obviously keep those populations alive and healthy, as well as all the research that we do. We're involved in some cutting-edge research for elephants that are helping both wild elephants as well as elephants in human care. So that's all very important in the species survival.
So you've got a small addition, too, that you want to tell us about.
We do. We do. In addition to, we have a couple of white-bellied storks, which are new.
Mm.
They're the first of that species at the zoo. And unlike the big wading storks that you often see, these are smaller in stature. They're about 2.5 feet tall. But they're native to the grasslands of Africa. And they're, again, they're sharing habitat with our Aldabra tortoise females. And they eat insects, so they're kind of quite interesting to see if you happen to get by that habitat. We had a baby tamandua born. This is the first tamandua in about 5 years. The zoo has had quite a bit of success in breeding tamanduas over the years. This is a lesser anteater. So they also eat termites and ants like the large anteaters, but they look vastly different. They're brown, and their tails and their noses are quite different. His name is Iggy.
Iggy. Iggy. Okay.
I-G-G-Y.
Oh, Iggy. Okay.
And yeah. So he is... tamanduas are nocturnal, so they live behind the scenes here at the zoo, but you might see them out. He's one of our ambassador animals, and you might see him out on a special animal encounter with one of our zookeeper chats, He also goes with our educators to schools and other animal outreach programs to raise awareness about his species. So that's another new addition that's been quite interesting for people to see when they're here. And then also we have some very small amphibians, reptiles, and invertebrates in an exhibit called Big and Small in our Conservation Learning Center. These are everything from some of our ambassador animals like rainbow boas, who had been previously behind the scenes, crested gecko. And one of the most interesting, I think, of this group of animals is the axolotl. So you might be familiar with axolotl from the video game Minecraft.
Mm-hmm.
But they're a type of salamander, very unique looking. They have big frills and just very interesting animals. They stay forever young. They retain all their juvenile qualities and don't really grow up their entire life. And they can regenerate limbs and lungs and even parts of their brain.
Wow.
So,
well, a lot of
scientists are studying them, yeah.
A lot of diversity of animals at the Reed Park Zoo. Deborah Carr, I want to carve out the remaining 5 minutes or so to talk about your big event, Zoo Lights. What should we know about it this year?
Yes, Zoo Lights is our largest event every year. It is running most evenings from now through January 5th, and the zoo is literally transformed into a winter wonderland. It has beautiful lights everywhere you look, over a million, in fact, this year.
Wow.
Light shows, nightly entertainment, snow, Santa, festive displays. It's very much a community event for all ages. New this year, we have an enchanted forest in South America. And a towering 36-foot live tree. It's the largest live tree in southern Arizona.
Mm.
And a giant illuminated gingerbread house that you can walk through. Perfect for the holiday photos. It's a great way to spend some quality time and get in the holiday spirit. And well, our crew spends about 8 months getting ready for this. And it's also a fundraiser for the zoo. So as you're enjoying the holiday festivities, you're also helping with conservation projects and helping to protect animals in the wild.
And conservation, of course, is a central mission of the zoo. How does Zoo Lights incorporate that mission? And how can listeners at home make their holidays a bit more sustainable, Deborah?
Yes, we are a green business here at Reed Park Zoo. We use all energy-saving LED lights in all of our displays. And also the giant 36-foot tree that I mentioned is a great conservation story. It's an evergreen fir tree, and it comes from a farm that specializes in prioritizing the health of the environment and forest enhancement. So for every tree they harvest, like ours, 10 trees are planted.
Oh, good.
And they have a special process that emphasizes ecological balance and renewal of the soil. But at the conclusion of Zoo Lights, this tree is going to be repurposed, and it'll be given to our elephant herd as browse and enrichment for them. So everything, you know, pretty much we try to reuse, recycle, or refuse here at the zoo. And we also have a great program. If you have old or broken lights, you can keep them out of the landfill. We work with a company called Recyco, and you can bring those non-functioning lights to the zoo to recycle, and you'll get a dollar off your zoo lights admission. We want to keep as many as we can out of the landfill.
You mentioned that Zoo Lights benefits local nonprofits. How can folks get involved? And perhaps how do they give a gift to their favorite animal or generally all of the animals at the zoo?
Absolutely. So Zoo Lights, every year we collect for charities serving people and pets in need. So you can bring a couple of cans of food for the community food bank, food or toys for adoptable pets at the Humane Society, new unwrapped toys for children at La Frontera. And with each of these donations, you'll receive a dollar off your Zoo Lights admission. So great way to help out those who are struggling this holiday. Also, if you'd like to give a gift to your favorite animals at the zoo, we have a great thing called the Enrichment Tree. It's in our Conservation Learning Center. So our animals love enrichment items like a boomer ball for the lions. They love to play with that. Or puzzle feeders for the bears or climbing structures. things that we can do to enhance the habitats and also provide ways for the animals to figure out how to get treats inside or use their skills, their natural behaviors and skills. And our zookeepers have a list of items. There's a tree with ornaments and little tags on them. You can take that tag and it'll have an item that our animals would really appreciate. You can pick your favorite one, and you can scan that and provide that item for the animal.
It's a win-win.
And they really love it.
It's a win-win for the animals and for the zoo and for the Tucson community. Before we let you go, Deborah, how about a quick update on the new Pathway to Asia exhibit? There's a lot of excitement happening around that. What's your timeline now?
Absolutely. Well, we are about 25% complete on construction. It is really zooming along, and you can see walls going up every day. We are on schedule to open towards the end of 2026 on this new edition. It'll bring tigers, red pandas, Komodo dragons, and a host of new animals to the zoo in an exploration of the world's largest continent. It was made possible through a 0.1% sales tax approved by voters in Tucson in 2017 to improve the zoo, and we are very grateful to the community for this wonderful addition that is taking shape, and look forward to that opening in 2026.
That's going to be very exciting. So before we go, how about some information about where people can get involved? Probably the website would be a good starting place.
Absolutely. I forgot to mention that you can also buy holiday gift memberships and adopt an animal packages, which also benefit your zoo. You can get all the information on everything we've talked about, including the memberships, on our website at reedparkzoo.org. And look for our 60th anniversary celebration coming up in March. We're getting ready for that.
We'll be talking about it. Thank you so much, Deborah Carr. I want to wish you and yours a wonderful holiday season and good luck with all the programs at the zoo in 2025 and of course, Zoo Lights, which is your signature for the holiday season now underway. Thank you, Deborah.
Thank you, Bill, and happy holidays to you and everyone. We really appreciate your support.
Thank you very much. Back at you. All right, the Buckmaster Show. Take a break right here. Our friend Dr. Mark Sykes, CEO of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute, is waiting in the wings. He'll be with us right after this.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. You can now review and comment on the Regional Transportation Authority's draft $2.46 billion regional transportation plan at one of several upcoming RTA Next open houses. The draft 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, and environmental improvements for the greater Tucson region. It's your plan. Tell us what you think. Learn more and find dates for an upcoming open house near you at rtanext.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. we grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome back, midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios on the campus of Bustos Media. A lot of folks have time off over the holidays. May I suggest a road trip, relatively easy, about 3-hour drive from the Tucson area. You'll be heading east. Pretty much, we get to Lawrenceburg, New Mexico. You take a left, head up the mountain to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Start your planning by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. And there is, well, there's a lot to do over there. A lot of outdoor activities, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness and just hanging out in a great atmosphere, a lot of Victorian architecture in downtown Silver City. southwestnewmexico.org for more information. Let's welcome now on the live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, the CEO and the director of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute, which for more than 50 years, this Tucson nonprofit has been engaged in the exploration of the solar system. Here he is, Dr. Mark Sykes. Dr. Sykes, how are you?
Great, great. Nice talking to you, Bill.
Well, here we go again. Another delay on the Artemis moon mission. I'm beginning to think, well, is this thing just a figment of our imagination? Is there really going to be a moon mission?
Well, yeah, you know, it's hard to say because it is an enormous sink, you know, of funds, and they don't have it all together, like, designed. Bloomberg wrote an article about this in October, criticizing the program and the expense of the SLS launch system, which is now looking like it's going to cost $4 billion per launch. And that it doesn't even get people to the moon. It gets people to a gateway station, which hasn't been built yet. And then there's supposed to be another craft that takes you down to the surface of the moon. So the new NASA administrator, or the person who will be the new NASA administrator, presumably Jared Isaac, who doesn't have a lot of background in the business, but that's that's another you know, perhaps thing. Uh-huh. You know, he recognizes that there's some problems, though he attributes it to problems with government contracting and stuff. But really, from my standpoint, it's like, what are we doing? You know, why are we going back? Are we going back for just performance art purposes, you know, to go down, land on the system, walk around and come back and have, you know, special stamps and whatever? or is there a longer term vision? And one has never been articulated, you know, so we're designing this $100 billion program around a single event of landing on the surface near the South Pole sometime in the future.
Are these how many moonshots are we planning with Artemis?
I think there's well, in terms of getting down to the surface of the moon.
Yeah.
Right now, I think we're committed to one.
Really? Just
yeah.
One.
And when you look at you know, you'd say, well, golly, do we want to build establish a permanent facility, you know, in the South Pole? Well, there's no plans, you know, to do that. And if we were, then wouldn't we want to be thinking about doing the advanced work to figure out what the nature of the surface is? Can we dig into it? Can we use the soil to protect against the, you know, radiation and stuff like that? You know, what are the long-term plans? And that's something which has really never been articulated or committed to. And that's, I think, the baseline problem.
And then you have the outgoing NASA administrator, Bill Nelson, who's saying he doesn't really foresee any changes with the change in leadership with President-elect Trump, who has already appointed this Isaacman to head up.
Mm-hmm.
How do you view that?
Oh, I think we may be in for some radical change. I mean, of course, Isaacman doesn't have much experience in the business, and so he's. I think he's going to be relying almost exclusively on whatever Elon Musk says. And Musk wants to, you know, sell more of his vehicles, and they're cost effective. You know, they're a good product, but he also. You know what he wants to do in space beyond sending an automobile past Mars, which was cool.
Yes.
You know, it's hard to say. He wears his Occupy Mars thing, and he talks about colonizing Mars, but he hasn't really thought through the problem of what would be required. And we haven't even done the basic homework that we could have been doing since the 70s to determine. Does Earth life, you know, particularly mammalian life, is it even able to reproduce in less than one gravity, one
yes.
Earth gravity?
Yeah.
You know, there's some Russian science from a long time ago, which is kind of dicey, that suggests maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
But what an important question to ask, you know, to say, where are our future if we can't colonize the moon or colonize Mars in terms of having self-sustainable populations there, then... You know, if we're interested in having a self-sustainable population someplace other than Earth, then maybe we need to be thinking about, you know, O'Neill colonies, if you remember that from the 70s.
That's an oldie but a goodie, Mark Sykes.
An oldie but a goodie. Yeah.
You know, I was
yeah.
thinking, and it's worth noting that while we have these delays for various reasons, including supplier issues, issues with heat shield, you know, really important stuff,
yeah.
China is moving ahead, and they're moving mm-hmm. really quickly. They're anticipating their own lunar landing in 2030. So we're getting closer to that date.
And I expect with the Chinese that they're going to have a longer term vision of what they want to accomplish mm-hmm. up on the moon. And I think that they are interested in having a permanent presence. And so it'll be interesting to see the steps they take, you know, before they actually put people on the surface of the moon. And it's just like, you know, we have this whole thing about Mars sample return. Right.
Mm-hmm,
it got
mm-hmm.
so expensive. Our efforts are so disconnected. We committed to picking up samples, distributing them over the surface of Mars, but we don't have a vehicle for taking anything up to Earth orbit or bringing it back to Earth. Whereas when the Chinese did their Chang'e 6 sample return mission from the far side of the moon, they did all the steps that you would want to do in a Mars sample return mission. If you're doing it as a single mission. And so I'm thinking that was a dress rehearsal. So I appreciate their thinking ahead and mm-hmm. and deciding what needs to be done if we're going to do this. And so I look forward to seeing how that is manifested with their human space activity.
You would think that the incoming administration would send a transition team to NASA. And as of right now, that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
What else can I say?
Right. I think that my concern is that science is going to be really endangered because Musk is really interested in human exploration, and I've seen no evidence that he is interested in the science mission of NASA at all.
Okay, Dr. Mark Sykes, always a pleasure. Tell our listeners how they can support you and your team over there at the Planetary Science Institute.
Yeah, well, you come to our website at www.psi.edu and see all the wide range of stuff that we're involved in on every planet in the solar system and beyond.
There you go. Dr. Sykes, always a pleasure. We very much appreciate your support every month for the Buckmaster Radio Program. I want to wish you and yours and really the whole team at PSI a wonderful holiday season. Thank you, Mark.
Oh, thank you, Bill. It's a real pleasure to, you know, talk with you.
Always a pleasure. Okay, on behalf of Dr. Mark Sykes and, of course, my buddy Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the program, I'm Bill Buckmaster, wishing everybody well.